Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
An Erios original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am The Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we'll be discussing one of the world's most horrific disasters, Cats the movie. Here's what you need to know. The 2019 film adaptation of the musical Cats is one of Hollywood's biggest disasters financially and artistically. But how is it that one of Broadway's most beloved and successful musicals could turn into such an epic embarrassment? Cats is a fully sung, dance-centric musical composed by the prolific musical theater composer Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's based on the 1939 poetry collection by T.S. Eliot titled Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. Originally written for his godchildren, the book is a collection of whimsical poems about a variety of cats.
He is quiet and small. He is black from his ears to the tip of his tail. He can creep through the tiniest crack. He can walk on the narrowest rail. He can pick any card from a pack. He is equally cunning with dice. He is always deceiving you into believing that he's only hunting for mice.
Following the commercial and critical success of his previous musical, Evita, Lloyd Webber was searching for his next project when he remembered the book his mother read to him as a child. Lloyd Webber, who is a huge fan of Cats, combined the theatrical elements of revue and concept musical with Eliot's fanciful stories about his favorite pet.
Are you blind when you're born?
Can you see in the dark?
Can you look at a king? Would you sit on his throne? Can you say of your bite that it's worse than your bark? Are you cock of the walk?
When you're walking alone.
And thus, Cats the Musical was born. The show tells the story of a tribe of cats called Jellicle, who have all come together in preparation for the Jellicle Ball, which happens once a year. At the ball, one Jellicle cat is chosen to be reborn. the Mangelicals, with curious names like Rum Tum Tugger, Jenny Any Dots, Bustopher Jones, Rumple Teaser, Skimbleshanks, Grizabella, and so on, each get a moment in the spotlight to show off their skills and personalities, all in hopes of being the lucky cat of the year. But a fight between the conniving McCavity and Old Deuteronomy ensues, and Old Deuteronomy later gets kidnapped. The good cats help rescue Old Deuteronomy, and then Grizabella sings the showstopper, Memory. Her performance puts her over the top, and she gets picked to go up into the sky, presumably so she can have another life. At first, producers were skeptical about how the show would be received, being that it was experimental for its time. It barely had a narrative, and none of the cast were celebrities. But against all odds, the show was a commercial success. After 21 years on the West End and 18 years on Broadway, Cats finally closed with the title of the longest-running musical of its time.
I love these cats!
Cut to the 2000s. Movie adaptations of musicals like Chicago, Les Mis, and Dreamgirls were all on the rise due to their massive box office appeal and significant award recognition. It was only a matter of time before Hollywood would get its hands on Cats. Initially, it was acquired in the 90s by Amblimation with plans to make an animated adaptation, but that fell through after the studio was closed. Eventually, Universal Pictures acquired the rights, and in 2013, Weber announced the film was in development. In 2018, its A-list cast was announced, including Judi Dench, Jennifer Hudson, Idris Elba, James Corden, Rebel Wilson, Jason Derulo, Ian McKellen, and Taylor Swift, to name a few, in lead roles. Swift and Lloyd Webber were set to collaborate on a new song for the film. It was one of the most anticipated films of 2019. Until the trailer came out. On July 18th, 2019, Universal Pictures dropped the trailer for the movie to the horror of musical theater fans everywhere. Then, on December 20th, the film was released. Audiences were bewildered and horrified to see their beloved musical reduced to one of the worst films ever made. Critics obliterated the film with headlines like, Cats is a catastrophe, a Broadway musical adaptation straight out of the litter box, and, my favorite from Cosmopolitan, the Cats reviews are bleak AF and literally everyone is scarred for life. Terrible word of mouth amongst moviegoers gave the movie its final blow. It was an absolute flop at the box office and the laughingstock of Hollywood. Fun Facts, a.k.a. Death Stats. Cats was a passion project of Andrew Lloyd Webber's. In order to secure the necessary funding for the show to open in London's West End, Lloyd Webber took out a second mortgage on his house. According to Playbill.com, Lloyd Webber did not intend Memory as a song for Cats. He wrote it in the style of Puccini for a show he had intended to compose about the writing of the opera La Bohème. That musical never came to be, but Lloyd Webber later repurposed it for Cats. Grizabella the Cat is not found in T.S. Eliot's Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. The character is based on an unpublished poem of Eliot's that he deemed too sad to include in his children's book. Lloyd Webber included it in the musical in an attempt to create a character with an emotional throughline that would eventually sing the showstopper. Dame Judi Dench, who plays Old Deuteronomy in the 2019 film, was also in the original London production of Cats, playing the roles of Grizabella and Jenny Any Dots. Cats is one of the highest-grossing Broadway shows of all time, and it's thought to have attracted over $3 billion in revenue for New York City. In 1983, the original Broadway production of Cats won 7 Tony Awards, including Best Musical and Best Original Score. It also won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best New Musical. Cats the movie received 0 Oscar nominations. And with us today, we have Jellicle Cat producer Amanda.
Meow.
Jellicle Cat fact checker Chris Smith.
Purr.
And our very special guest, the very famous Jellicle Cat, Matt Gourley.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What a group. I'm so excited to have you, Matt, for this episode because we're very divided households. You guys are cats. And we are dogs.
That's true. Till the day we die, right?
But by association, you guys have to be fans of Cats the musical, just like we have to be fans of Beethoven and All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah.
In all fairness, I think we have more to choose from.
If you're a lizard person, you're up the river.
Yeah, reptile people.
You're
are.
Not. Yeah.
And you've got Rango, and
that's about it.
You know, we could do a whole episode on, if we wanted to continue on the cat theme, maybe transition the alarmist to only cat related disasters. On that movie I've always wanted to see, but I never have, where Kevin Spacey and a cat trade bodies.
Excuse me?
That's right.
There's no way that's a movie.
Yeah, he gets put into a cat's body.
It's a body swap comedy, a family comedy.
No way.
He's like a mean ad exec, and he swaps bodies with like a fat cat.
Okay.
And then Kevin Spacey voices the cats in her mind.
This was a. Is it a body swap, or he just end up in a cat? Because I don't think there's a version where a Kevin Spacey's walking around licking his paw and cleaning his ears.
See that? Boy, they really ran out of ideas in the 90s,
no,
right?
No, this was definitely not
this was
a movie.
Like one of his last movies.
Oh,
oh my God. No, wait, this was a fever dream you guys had together one night. This was not real.
This is not some sort of role play we did. Look it up, fact checker.
Can you look it up, Chris?
Jesus,
we
Christmas.
Need to know.
There's no. I don't want to know that movie exists. Okay, IMDb, Internet Movie Database.
It's called 9 Lives.
A stuffy businessman finds himself trapped inside the body of his family's cat.
Oh boy.
Oh my God, you guys. Can we please watch this?
We might have to.
Let's talk about our experience watching this film, because I have actually seen the staged version. It was the first play I ever saw in my life on Broadway, which was like when I was 13. And I was so excited because I was a real theater geek and I fell asleep.
Well, there's no plot. So it's probably the perfect movie or play to fall asleep during.
Yeah, yeah. You're only going to miss one cat saying, here's my name and here's what I do. I eat dice. How about you?
I think you wrote it. I think we should start by putting director Tom Hooper up on the board.
And then just end it right there.
Here's what I have to say about Tom Hooper. I think we put him in for taking the musical, which is a dance theatrical spectacle, singing spectacle, and he changes it to a film that highlights cat's realism. Mm. So the problem is it's still a musical, which is one of the most unrealistic mediums of all. Like, how many people do you know that express their big emotions through song and dance in real life, is what musicals are meant to do, right? But in my opinion, you pick either one or the other. And if it's the other, then don't have them sing and dance.
Yeah, well, it was just confusing to me because I'm looking at people and they have everything's like halfway there. And I know in the stage version, it's like, you know, you're watching actors and they're dancing around like dancers. And it's kind of like there's a higher suspension of disbelief. But in the movie, it's just they didn't take it far enough one way or the other. And you're left with this really upsetting middle ground where you have someone who has like really good CGI ears, but then they have human hands. And like, it was just like this upsetting middle ground for me.
Yeah, it's almost like they Frankenstein like 100% human hands and face and then 100% cat ears and body. And it was this kind of like, and they all, you said that they kind of seem like aliens and they walk like velociraptors instead of cats.
And there's also, and I'm really going to put myself out on the limb here and say this, but there was a confused sexual energy that I couldn't quite grasp either. Like, I felt like I was meant, were we supposed to find them attractive?
Did I think you can answer that for yourself, Chris. Did you find them attractive?
Well, why were they? It was like weirdly sexually suggestive. And I did a little research and read some stuff about how, like, that was part of the musical appeal too, was like this weird sexual energy about these cats. Like, there was,
yes,
kind of got that Bob Fosse,
yes,
that lithe, everything's kind of writhing and sensual. I think you're right. Yes. This period of the late 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back to the director, because obviously he's up on the board,
right?
How much did Tom Hooper have to do with these creative choices, Rebecca?
Well, he's a big part of it. You know, the reason, from what I read, was that he was the choice to be the director because the studio was so, I guess, impressed with his version of Les Mis, the movie that had just come out a few years before and had, you know, swept the Oscars, and it was a financial success. So they were like, we want, do what you did there, do that here too. And his whole thing, which, you know, whether you think that he's a good director or not for musicals, his whole thing is that he takes these musicals and tries to put them in film in a very realistic way.
Well, in Les Mis, he recorded the audio live performance, right? So it wasn't sort of recorded in a studio and then they lip sync during the performances. He recorded live. And that was like one of the couple of, plus those tight shots, up those close-ups, yes, and all that stuff. So,
and some of that works better with Les Mis because it's built in the human world.
Yes.
But yeah, when you're making the huge leap to cats having a society where they choose who's reborn, it's a little hard to ground that.
It is
an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Going off of his success with Les Mis, I just have a suggestion of perhaps putting Anne Hathaway on the board.
Oh.
Love it.
Because her performance in Les Mis is what elevated that movie to being, you know, Oscar worthy. If we didn't have that, there's a great chance that we would not have had Cats.
Yeah. Especially since they tried to repeat that exact same thing with Jennifer Hudson.
Yes. I found this RogerEbert.com review, which puts it nicely. Hudson does not disappoint. Filling the lyrics with rage and pathos, watch what she does with I Must Wait for the Sunrise. Hudson's Grisabella is pissed when she sings that. Hudson makes sense of her character, personalizes the character, and sings the hell out of the song, all while wearing a cat suit. That's a pro.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think generally none of the performers here are to blame, except for maybe one or two doing their own.
Yeah,
thing.
There's a few. There's performers. A few.
I have a bit of a. I want to push back against that idea just ever so slightly. I think that the fact that Jennifer Hudson exists, and the fact that the studio knew they could play the Jennifer Hudson card, basically saying, okay, this movie can be a total disaster, but if Jennifer Hudson can sing Memory, like, it might be worth it.
Okay, so let's put her up on the board, but I can already tell you, you can't blame Jennifer Hudson for being a powerhouse.
No, you can't.
You know? I think we need to put some other stuff up on the board, and I would like to put the addition of a plot that was never there.
Mm.
Now,
interesting.
According to LA Times Ashley Lee article, Cats doesn't have much of a plot because it's a concept musical. She's referring to the stage play, which foregoes the traditional story structure of a linear plot in favor of vignettes that collectively discuss a shared subject. The scenes don't necessarily build narratively. Instead, they complement one another intellectually or emotionally. On-screen equivalents arguably are multi-arc movies like Love Actually, He's Just Not That Into You, and Valentine's Day, as well as television shows like Netflix's Black Mirror and Amazon's Modern Love. Now, the tension, minor as it may be in the stage musical, this is now just my thoughts, focused on finding out which one of the cats will get reborn. But in the film, they shifted it to be about Victoria, who's a kitten who gets abandoned and who's, I guess, trying to figure out where she is. It's a little unclear, really, in the film. But we're supposed to care about Victoria. Now, for the record, the role of Victoria is a very small part in the stage musical. She has a small dance number, has no musical solo, so she never sings. And there's also this subplot. So another thing they added into the film was this subplot of McCavity. They kind of like pose him as this antagonist who's trying to get rid of all of his competitors by, I guess, disappearing them and then reappearing them on a ship. Yeah, and then they appear in the middle of the Thames. And
naturally.
To the docks. To the docks with you.
What was that called? The heavy...
Heavy.
Place? No, that's, they want to get to the heavy-sided place, right? That's what heaven is.
Oh, I thought they were banished to the heavy-sided.
No, I think the heavy... Chris, will you look that up?
Yes.
I believe it's like the heavy-sided place is heaven. And then the people who got banished were just on a boat.
So, I mean, this is not part of the show. This was added.
Again, they didn't go one way or the other. They half-heartedly wrote in this very thin plot. And it's almost like it would have been way better if, A, they either reimagined the whole thing to actually make it make sense, or they just let it be what it was, which was just like a bunch of people cats dancing around willy-nilly. And so I understand. So I have... and like a forced addition of a plot. I put that up on the board, but I wonder if there's anything else like that's coming trickling down from the studio system or...
How about square peg into a round hole syndrome?
Ooh.
Okay.
I just made that up. But it's like, why are you trying to make it fit into the traditional like movie arc or movie narrative when it's just not that?
Mm. Another question you could ask is, why didn't the original musical have a better plot?
Yeah, well, because Andrew Lloyd Webber took these from a series of poems, but basically did a musical of that. It's just a review of different little vignettes and poems. So if he was able to do that, why can't you theoretically could put that up? Especially when Webber did this in what year? 80 or 79?
80.
80. I think 80. 81, yeah. I believe. So, no, like, sorry. It was late 70s.
On the heels of... This was popular because it was Sondheim's company and working by Studs Terkel. These were like vignette musicals. And there's also this show on TV called Love American Style, which every episode was just little comic sketches about love and marriage. And guest stars would cycle through every episode and there was no like unifying plot or theme. It was just little love joke after love joke. And this was just kind of something that was big at the time, but I wonder if he thought that would never play today.
You guys do bring up a good point. I think we can also throw in Andrew Lloyd Webber himself.
Oh,
yeah.
He's
front and center in my book.
I'm looking at you. Me too. I'm gunning for you, Webber.
By the way, it's called the Heaviside Lair. The Heaviside Lair that the Jellicle cats want to get to for some reason. We don't even.
That is not like an inviting name for a place you want to get to, like a heaven called the Heaviside Lair.
And it's not lair, it's layer, L-A-Y-E-R.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh,
I don't understand.
I don't understand why all those cats have death wishes either. It's really dark.
It's that they get reborn.
Yeah, they get another life.
I know, me too.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
I think Matt makes a good point, though, in terms of, and maybe this goes on the board, maybe not, but the modern audience, right? The idea of a review, which is what this is. We've been so spoon-fed so much well-run story and garbage that we just...
But we didn't even get the chance, thanks to Tom.
Yeah.
He didn't trust us enough with it.
I guess that's the studio's assumption that a modern audience. I guess maybe that's a little...
We have to put the studio up.
Yes. Well, right? Yes, we have to put the studio up, and I have a good case for them. But before we get to the studio, I even want to just give a little thing about Andrew Lloyd Webber, because I have an opinion about him.
Let's talk Weber.
Ooh.
Now, there's a lot of people that are going to disagree with me, but I think Cats is a bad musical, period. And I wrote this down, and it's very poetic. This was it really encapsulated my feeling. You can't make a beautiful fruit tart if the only ingredients available to you are poop. I was inspired.
What?
I don't know, but it made sense to me at the time. Like,
is poop the cat?
Is that the musical or the poem?
Rebecca was up really late the other night. This might have been what was going on.
Apparently, pooping.
Cats can really get into your head, Rebecca.
Look, I'm not saying that the musical shouldn't be per se. Like, obviously, there's a market and to each their own, like, whatever. But it's not a good play. And it's okay to like bad things. And that's fine. That's totally cool. But it's bad. And now let's take a quick break to speak with our guest expert, Dr. Melissa Click, communication studies professor and editor of the book Anti-Fandom, Dislike and Hate in the Digital Age. So the reviews for Cats the movie are really from bad to worse. In your opinion, what is it about Cats the movie that resulted in so many people jumping on the hate wagon?
I would say a couple of things. When I am interested in something that people dislike, I think about who's the target audience. Is there something about the audience that people might hate? Who created it? Because we certainly seen things that were created and people come after them because they hate that person. Who was in it? Is there a star in it that, you know, people really don't like? How popular was it? We tend to see hate and dislike as well as love and like. Directed more at things that are blockbusters than things that, you know, just kind of blow over and nobody cares. How was it reviewed? And I think you have some great headlines there for how it was reviewed. And then what did it replace, displace, or outpace? So was there something, you know, like folks said at Comic-Con, Twilight ruined Comic-Con because now girls and women were there. So is there something it displaced? And then what's the target of the hate? And so with Cats, you know, the Broadway show is one of the highest grossing shows of all time. It's won 7 Tony Awards. Is it possible that the problem here is in the adaptation of it? It's clearly a beloved play. When it becomes a movie, does it not translate? That could be it.
Listen to our entire interview with Dr. Melissa Click on Thursday's episode of The Aftermath. Now back to our conversation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
there's probably a reason to put T.S. Eliot up here, but I've now looked at a couple of those poems, and I think you can't blame those, really, because he was just making poems for kids, and they're kind of fun and clever.
Hunter.
And he spells gone, G-O-N-E, G-A-W-N, and I'm having fun.
Okay, I will, just to make a case against T.S. Eliot real quick and his estate, and I don't know if you're touching on this, but basically what I've learned is that he, his estate was really precious. His wife, right, was really precious about what to do with those poems because they were approached by multiple places wanting to adapt them into like maybe a Disney movie. But the only person he gave the rights to was Andrew Lloyd Webber to make it into like a weird sex musical.
Yes.
Well, that was his wife.
His wife.
Not T.S. Eliot.
Right, his wife.
His widow, yeah.
I think we put his widow up.
Okay.
T.S. Eliot, yeah. Her name is Valerie Elliott. And she had the opportunity.
Wasn't DreamWorks going to do one too? I think
Amblin.
Yeah,
it's the animation Amblin.
Yeah, that's right.
The way that it was pitched to her by Lloyd Webber was that it's the book meets hot gossip. Now, hot gossip isn't just the idea of hot gossip. It was a late 70s and 80s dance troupe who also sang backup for Sarah Brightman, who was hot at the time. And they had this like sexy, risque 70s, 80s vibe.
Did Sarah Brightman end up playing Christine in Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, she played a part.
Sometimes my musical theater knowledge astounds even me.
It seems like we're uncovering some sort of conspiracy.
Yeah, this cabal of what did Webber, Valerie Elliott, and Sarah Brightman know about each other?
Well,
that's the hot gossip.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Weren't Sarah Brightman and Webber dating or married?
No.
Too?
That's hot gossip.
Boy.
Oh boy! This it's the like hottest. It's scalding goss. Fact checker Chris,
I can get into this.
He's going to look into it.
To the fact poll.
Oh wait, they were married. They married and divorced. Married in 71, divorced in 83.
Just enough time to stay married to get these musicals made.
They were married at the time. I think we're getting to the bottom.
Was
of
she
this, guys.
Ever in?
She was in the musical,
she was in
the
Cats.
Original.
Oh my gosh.
Oh? Put Sarah Brightman down.
It's Brightman's fault.
Yeah.
This is all going to land on Sarah Brightman, unfortunately.
This is incredible.
Okay, so I have a little theory that's in this space. They started reviews of Cats, and it wasn't going well. And they didn't have their big number. And that's when Lloyd Webber used memory, which was that the melody of memory, and he used another T.S. Eliot poem
that
wasn't
was not there.
In the books.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Andrew Lloyd Webber knew this musical would be a failure, but he had this ace in the hole, which was this incredible melody of memory, which is, it's an incredible song. It's an incredible song, and that key change, and if it's done by the right person, you go home singing it. And that's what people go to a musical for. They want to just go home with that tune in their head. And it could have been anything. It could have been Hats. It could have been Hats the musical. And if the song Memory was in there, it would be successful.
I would love to see Hats the musical with Diane Keaton.
Oh, it's genius.
I think you're right, because that song, as good as it is so out of place with the rest of the musical. That's a problem. You're right. It saves the musical, but it sounds nothing in any way, musically, lyrically, like anything else.
At all.
It has so much heart, and the rest of the musical has zero heart.
Yeah.
I'm just Jimble Jams, and I like scratching up my Timbleton. Who's Mr. Buggle Come?
Mr. Buggle Come. I'm putting Memory on the board, and I also have to say that's a beautiful song, and I liked a lot the new song that they added to the movie version.
The Taylor, the Tay Tay one.
Yeah.
To be honest, I did tear up during both those moments.
Yeah, I mean, anything that doesn't sound like what the musical sounds like is great. is what we're saying.
We were talking when we were watching about how it felt like a staged improvised musical where someone, can we get a suggestion of something you'd see around the house? A cat. All right, here we go. I'm Bramble Dingy and I don't do dishes.
Yes.
I wish that was it.
I also want to throw on the board the names of the cats.
Yeah, silly names.
I might fight you on this. Yeah.
I like that's the only thing saving it, but sure.
Jenny Any Buttons?
Jenny Any Dots.
Oh, Jenny Any. Well, never mind. I take it back. Mine's better.
Yes, let's put the names up. I also think we need to talk about the special, the visual effects.
Oh, this is a big one.
Yeah. According to LA Times article, Tom Hooper's adaptation, which presents viewers with the faces of Judi Dench, Ian McKellen, all the famous people, edited onto bodies with, quote, digital fur, human hands, and human breasts, not to mention human face cockroaches. No patch can fix that. With its grotesque design choices and busy metronomic editing, Cats is as uneasy on the eyes as a Hollywood spectacle can be, tumbling into an uncanny valley between mangy realism and dystopian artifice.
My understanding, and I think there's some evidence for this, but I don't know that it's 100% fact, is that Tom Hooper didn't want them to wear motion capture suits because they thought it would be distracting, but instead just put them in cotton onesies, which is the same thing, but instead it didn't have the effect that the CGI animators could do easily latch the effects to them. So that's why I think it's that, and the fact that they speed up the release date, so the deadline was a lot sooner. I feel so badly for those animators.
Oh my God.
I also heard that their budget got cut after the studio saw an early cut of the movie. They were like, oh, we're going to pull out a little bit of this budget.
Yes.
We're not going to throw good money after bad, basically. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. They abandoned him.
And we saw a cut that had been repaired in some ways because they had released it right and then gone back and redone some of the effects.
And that being said, I was actually impressed sometimes with the way the fur looked because it didn't look like hair. It looks like my cat's fur. And to think that that was put on them without any visual aid markers blows my mind. I thought maybe it was prosthetic at times.
It's
I guess some of it is, but
and to that point, I thought the cats like Judi Dench with the big furry faces looked awesome. It's just like the Idris Elba's when he was just so
smooth,
slick, and it was so. And then Victoria too. It was so alien. And that's when you hit on the uncanny valley, which is a term I just love. And maybe we can just throw that whole concept on the board.
Right.
Why is it that the human brain is so upset by this concept of something that's so close to reality but is a little bit off? That's the general idea.
Yeah, it is. And that's like, you know, like no judgment, but sometimes when you see people with certain types of plastic surgery, it cues that uncanny valley thing where you're just, there's something subconscious that you're reacting to that just doesn't feel right.
Just to sort of clarify for the audience at home in the Wikipedia, in aesthetics, the uncanny valley is a hypothesized relationship between the degree of an object's resemblance to a human being and the emotional response to such an object. So it's sort of a scale.
So we are winding down with our time to put stuff up on the board. What, you have any last ones you want to throw up?
Well, dogs. I do want to make sure we have budget up, Amanda, and of course Universal Pictures, budget cuts, I should say, and Universal Pictures, who's the studio behind it, for making those budget cuts and having the whole trust issue.
What's the big idea behind it? The dog.
Let's
attack.
Talk dogs.
Well, dogs are the enemies of cats, and it's hard not to think that dogs are somehow behind this whole thing, even below Weber, Valerie Ellett, and Sarah Brightman. Like maybe they've got a dog
at home
that was really pulling the strings, and like, they've you know, big dog is out to get little cat.
To use a musical analogy, like dogs are the Bialystock and Bloom of this operation, where they're trying to sync. They're trying to intentionally. They're the masterminds trying to sync the identity of cats.
I think we can definitely consider that. There's not a lot of factual evidence backing it, but we can put it up.
There wouldn't be, would there, Rebecca? that's how good they are.
I do think we can also, going off of that, put cats versus dogs. Just that whole, why is that even a rivalry? I mean,
it's funny how this movie ends on that too, with Judy, like the whole climax of the movie is gone and done. And she's just, by the way, I'm going to take 5 minutes just to say, cats are not dogs.
I have something in that vein, and I'm totally throwing myself under the bus. Uh-huh. I'm literally wearing a shirt with an embroidered cat peeking out of a pocket. But I want to put up cat people because as I know, because Matt and I are cat people, we love cats. And Andrew Lloyd Webber, obviously a cat person.
He's biased.
And so we think like these cats need to be celebrated. Like all I do is watch YouTube videos about cats. Like I want cat content.
Here's some actual like statistics. According to My Modern Met poll, pet owners consist of 62% of the U.S. population. There are 78 million dog owners in the U.S. versus 86 million cat owners.
Wow.
Yes.
But
it's not even close.
But according to a Today article, 75% of people in general like dogs a lot, and only 41% like cats a lot.
Well, it's an elite club. It's more like cats only like 41% of people.
Right. And you can't just be a cat owner. You kind of have to qualify.
No, apparently not. There's way more cats than dogs.
Right. But to really like them, to appreciate. Yeah, I mean, it's a fine one.
Here's what I think. More people have cats, but then when you have a cat, you like them less. So that's why you get the 41%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true. Our cat's just a menace.
She's horrible.
So Amanda, I have two more things, and I'm going to make it really quick. One of them is too many famous people in the movie. And it just throws you off because it's like Taylor Swift is a cat. No, Taylor Swift is a superstar. But like maybe that Victoria woman could have been a cat because I had never seen her.
Can I throw one more thing on the board?
Okay, yeah.
I just think we should put C-sharp on the board, the note. That's the note that Jennifer Hudson hits. It's the high note of the key change. And I think, honestly, you can all distill it down to if they nail that moment, they can justify so much because it really is the most moving moment. And if you take that moment away from the musical, it might not have been as popular. It might not have been a sensation, and they might not have tried to make millions and millions of dollars off of it.
Okay. I think we're good.
Should I run it down?
Yeah, please run it down.
Okay, who's to blame? Tom Hooper, Anne Hathaway, the Jennifer Hudson card, forced addition of plot / square peg into a round hole syndrome. Andrew Lloyd Webber, the modern audience. T.S. Eliot's widow, Valerie Elliott. Sarah Brightman, memory and the C sharp. The names of the cats, visual effects, uncanny valley effect, budget cuts, Universal Pictures, dogs, cats versus dogs, cat people, and star fucking.
And cat fucking.
Mm. I think right off the bat, we can take the Jennifer Hudson card out because I think the C-sharp memory effect is more strong.
True.
She's not the first one to sing it well, but she's the best. Am I right? We can also probably take Dog's Conspiracy off the board.
Matt?
I'll allow it. But, you know, spoken like a dog, just so you know.
I think we could also take off well, cats versus dogs.
Yeah.
Because that seems to go hand.
We're just having some fun.
Yeah, hand in hand. I want to keep on cat people for now because I do think that sort of ties into T.S. Eliot.
What about
I do agree with you.
What about the modern audience? I don't think they ever got a chance. They probably would be to blame, but we'll never know.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right.
I think you're right.
I also want to give Valerie Elliott, get her off the hook.
She can't be blamed for the
I don't think so, guys. She's got all the cards. Like she really set this disaster off.
Put it this way, though, like Andrew Lloyd Webber is like one of the most prolific and incredible musical theater people in the world. Wouldn't you just trust that he would take care of this IP for you? Like, why would you? I mean,
Amblin is one of the, is a big dog too.
Well, that's,
I would trust
that's
Amblin.
Why I think that she folds into Andrew Lloyd Webber because she may have made a bad call, but Andrew Lloyd Webber let his sick fantasy, he unleashed it on the world.
I'm sorry, it was Disney that had approached her beforehand.
I'll go ahead and say we could take off Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Yeah, she was just doing her job.
Although I would like to see her in the Alarmist jail at some point.
I'm sure she's got a lot of offenses. We can get her.
Yeah. Maybe for terrible Oscar speeches.
Oh my gosh.
It came true.
It came true.
Well, you know what?
Like, put
her
just
in.
Catching you.
You know, the same way Paul Newman got a Lifetime Achievement Award, even though she doesn't deserve to be in jail for this, let's give it to her.
Honorary.
Honorary Alarmist jail. I really like that idea.
I think that the names of cats can be taken off.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also think that the star fucking aspect. I hate that part of Hollywood because I do think that it really takes you out of a story. The only thing is that this movie had no story. So,
yeah, and that's kind
of that really didn't take it out.
That's kind of a sub blame because that star fucking is ultimately either the responsibility of the studio or Tom Hooper because they made that choice.
Yeah. So we can take that off. So we've still got Tom Hooper, you know, the addition of the plot, Sarah Brightman, Memory, the song with the C sharp, visual effects.
Sarah Brightman go?
Yeah, I think she can go.
I think we should take off budget cuts, honestly, because if it was decent, they wouldn't have taken
Yeah,
off
they probably would have given it more money.
I think we can maybe fold Memory C sharp into Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, he made the choice.
I mean, this is really coming down to Webber and Hooper, I think.
And in which case, I do also think forced addition of plot, square peg into round hole syndrome can go.
It's another sub-blame. Because it's
and that's more on the studio for forcing that on something that doesn't happen.
Did they force that? Or was it Hooper?
It's hard. I don't know. I'd have to read their emails.
Normally, I would never side on the studio side, but I do think that Hooper kind of had free reign with this because of his success on Les Mis, and they were just like, yeah, go do your thing. So my guess would be to put most of this on his plate, but I don't know if that's right.
Well, I think we could, I don't know, maybe we could get rid of Universal and kind of say that Hooper was the top of the totem pole.
Yeah, we can do that and also take visual effects because they were doing the best they could with the budget. And, you know, they were doing someone else's vision.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. And don't forget about the big slap.
Right.
I also think at this point we can take cat people off. Yeah.
So I have a theory. I have a uncanny valley. I'd like to take that off only because it blames the victims, us.
I love that. Okay, so we're down to Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tom Hooper.
This is tough. I don't know where I fall because Hooper took something, like you said, it was a fruit tart made a bit of poop, but he also didn't put any fruit in, he put more poop in. And he just made a poop tart.
That's a great point.
Or at least Webber's was
a
fruit
point.
But,
and I have to say that, okay, say what you will about Cats the Musical. I know it's a triggering subject for you, Rebecca, but there is a time and a place for Cats the Musical. It is of an era, you know, and trends like that don't always age well and they don't always translate well.
Yeah.
So I don't know whose idea was it to make then that a movie.
Yeah,
well,
it
was someone's
his.
Idea before it got into Tom Hooper's lap.
Right, but he got
it was Universal Pictures.
And Tom
they
Hooper?
Wanted to make money because Les Mis and all those other movies were so successful. And I want to say Greatest Showman had been such a huge hit.
What? Let me ask us this because I think this question is going to take us in the right direction. Do you think there was any possibility that a movie adaptation of Cats could have been good?
Yes.
Good question.
I actually do think like a Baz Luhrmann version of Cats would have been awesome.
Well, there's our answer. It's more Tom Hooper than it is Universal.
Yeah, I think I went into this thinking I wanted to blame Lloyd Webber, but you're right. That musical was of its time, and the proof is in the pudding. People love that thing. No one's walking away saying, I love the movie.
Well,
except for Amanda.
I didn't say I loved it. It has stuck with me, and I did cry twice. I know a couple people.
Well, I want to know what what the two moments you cried
were. She told you it was the ghost memory and memory and the ghost.
Right, right. I'm living with ghosts or whatever. It's gorgeous. I'll play it under the after the Cats. But I think Hooper.
I think that's where I am too.
For me, it's going to take a lot to change my mind. I think we put Tom Hooper in jail and we give Andrew Lloyd Webber the slap.
Boy, that sounds good, right? Yeah, that sounds about right.
And may I nominate the one and only Jennifer Hudson for the big clap?
I love it.
Oh, yes, we have to.
That's a great idea.
Okay, I'm calling it. Jennifer Hudson, you're getting the big clap.
Bravo.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, you're getting the big slap. Tom Hooper, you're going to the alarmist jail, baby. I mean, what a terrible disaster this was. And thank you so much, Matt, for really helping us get to the bottom of Cats the movie.
Thank you for having me. And I look forward to watching Nine Lives starring Kevin Spacey and Jennifer Garner and discussing it on this program.
As soon as possible.
What are you doing tonight?
All that I wanted.
After Cats the Disaster. In its opening weekend, Cats made just $6 million domestically. Worldwide, its total earnings amounted to just under $74 million. This was a $20 million loss for Universal Pictures, as it's estimated that their total budget for the movie was $95 million. It's unclear if Tom Hooper will ever work again. According to his IMDb page, he has no films in production.
And the memories were lost long ago. But at least you have beautiful ghosts.
Damn it, Taylor, you're making me cry. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Tulsa Massacre.
Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.